Hey, welcome to the Sports Reverence Podcast. My name is Dan. I am joined with my co-host, known as the Coach, coached around the world. It's actually a birthday pod. Shout out to the Coach. And he's getting older, wiser. But happy birthday to my big bro, Joel. Can you give us a few thoughts on what it feels like to be middle-aged?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm trending towards middle age. I can't quite escape it. It's periods of dread, excitement, and I think the biggest thing I've taken away this last year is pursue what you want to pursue. Don't let opportunities pass you by.
All right.
So that's your words of wisdom.
There we go. On this podcast, we like to talk about our unapologetic faith and our hot sports takes. So, Coach, why don't you walk us through what is the rundown for the day?
Absolutely. We got some quick hitters, as always. We're going to talk U.S. Turkey Day. I think it's one of your favorite holidays. We're going to also start up a new series on called How to Be a Champion in our Real Talk section, and go through some interesting analogies and some thought-provoking ideas. And then, if we got time, maybe some NBA in-season tourney stuff. So why don't you start us off, Dan, with some of the quick hitters here.
Let's hit up some quick hitter news. Philadelphia Phillies re-sign Aaron Nola to a 7-year, $172 million contract.
Yeah, so that's a big one. The NHL wants an international 4-team tournament in 2025, down from the original 8.
Indianapolis Colts have waived linebacker Shaquille Leonard.
Very surprised. The Pittsburgh Steelers have fired offensive coordinator Canada amidst the team struggles.
And Padres hire Mike Schilt as next manager. Can I throw in one more?
Absolutely.
Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Ooh.
Canadian Football League lose to the Montreal Alouettes in the 100-something worth World Grey Cup. I mean, not World Cup.
World Cup.
Before we go anywhere else, let's handle some business. Urban Hope is the mentorship program I get to run in downtown Toronto. It's a mentorship program for kids and youth in the St. Lawrence community and surrounding high-rise areas, and it's an opportunity for them to learn mentorship skills, learn discipline, learn life skills, help them create goals for themselves and achieve those goals. We teach biblical principles all along the way, and we offer programs from weekly drop-ins for kids and youth. We have our summer camps. We have big Easter egg hunts and Christmas parties and all these things for the community. And if you're able to support our program as we continue to see success stories of students that have grown up through a rough neighborhood, achieve success as making it to university and graduating or starting their jobs and trades and having life of hard work and building a family and what the family looks like. If you want to be a part of supporting that, please consider checking out sportsreverence.com/sponsors. If you are in Canada, you will receive a tax receipt as well if you give more than $20, which is a great thing as well. And if you're outside of Canada, you can still give. We would love for you to do so.
Yeah.
So please consider giving, consider pouring into the next generation as we build them up. Here we go.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Let's get rolling here. U.S. Turkey Day, Thursday, Green Bay, Detroit, Washington, Dallas, San Francisco, Seattle. Let's start with probably the most boring game because we're both not those fans. Green Bay and Detroit. Who do you think is going to take this one?
Shout out, Drew Martin. Sorry, brother. Because this might be the first time I've ever seen the Lions favored by like 7.5 points. Ooh. On Turkey Day. And I'm absolutely taking them. They are going to level them by at least 10, I think.
Wow, by 10.
Goff, I mean, at home, in stadium.
Yeah, that's fair.
Player.
That's fair. They're not playing in Lambeau, so... Yeah, I think it's appropriate. This is the first game of the day. People are probably still putting their turkeys in the oven and all that kind of stuff. So Let's flip over to Washington Dallas. I think this is going to be a cupcake of a game for Dak. Thoughts?
Yeah, this is in history, this has been a spot where the Dallas has one of those like drop the ball games. I forget the term people use for those kind of games, but I this could be one of those where it could be tighter than what you expect. But what should happen is Dallas rolls over these Washington Commanders, who's traded away two of their best defensive linemen and have built up the 49ers and other teams. I don't know what they're doing. Magic Johnson needs to revisit the drawing board there. But yeah, should be an absolute rollover for Dallas. And Dak should have at least two touchdowns throwing and 250 yards.
I mean, Irving can't even get the Lakers to do well. We can't even get the Washington to do well. After the Commanders, they got the Seahawks, Eagles, Bills, Dolphins, Lions, and Commanders again. So they got to win some of these cupcake games, right?
Yeah.
So bit of a stretch coming up
Got to take
for
care
the
of
Dallas
business.
Cowboys.
And they've been good at taking care of their business. The problem is when it comes to big time games, is that's where they run into the brick
Yeah.
wall. So we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. Then my favorite game of the night. We got the probably the most intriguing in terms of seeding, San Francisco and Seattle.
Yep.
Who are you taking here?
This is what I think. I think Seattle has or San Fran's favored by 6.5 points. I think San Fran does win this game, but it is in Seattle, so it's a
Yeah.
home game for them. They do have that great crowd out there. I will say Seattle keeps it close and will cover the spread, but 49ers win. That's my call.
Yeah. They got Seattle, they got the Eagles, they have Seattle again, and the Cardinals. And then they play the Ravens on Christmas Day. So a bit of a that's definitely a big stretch for them because the Eagles looked really good last week
Yeah.
against the Chiefs. This could be a trip-up game for the Niners, I think. Being in Seattle, I'm picking the Seahawks, to be honest. I think the Seahawks come away. Brock Purdy had a really good game against the Buccaneers, but if the
Come away
Niners
with the
defense,
outright win?
yep,
Okay.
yeah, I think it's a trip-up game. I think it's a trip-up game. They'll be really focused on the Eagles in the following week, and even though this is like a seeding game for playoffs. I don't know. I just feel it's gonna be one of those days. Again, I'm very pessimistic when it comes to my team, but we'll see. We'll see.
Realist, you're a realist.
No. I'm pessimistic.
Okay.
If I was a realist, I'd be like, anyways, won't go there. Let's talk about the very, very, very first Friday game.
I love
That's
that.
I love it. We got Miami at the Jets.
Yeah, if this was what it was supposed to be, Aaron Rodgers versus Tua. Then it'd be a lot more exciting, but right now, what is the Jets quarterback? Tim Boyle, I think it was. I can't even
Boil a
tell
bully
you.
or something.
I'm gonna tell you right now because I had it right here. It is Tim Boyle. I was correct. Tim Boyle,
There you go.
starting quarterback for the Jets. Zach Wilson, as you mentioned earlier, to me, he is now the third string quarterback currently. So that doesn't include Aaron Rodgers. So when Aaron Rodgers is back, this guy is on the hot seat. Yeah, Jets are getting rolled.
Yeah. I mean, it could be interesting. We could see another like high scoring 40-10 game. But I feel bad for that stadium because they've not seen so many good games come through there.
True.
Anybody going there for a home game has just been rough. So I think it's cool having it on a Friday night. Kind of adds to the weekend, and I'm sure for those partying on the Thursday, it's a nice way to have roll into Friday. Sunday there's a ton of games. I think we're highlighting Jacksonville and Houston. I think Houston might just be a permanent pick because of CJ Stroud right now on our pod here. But
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Mr.
what?
Sunshine is also a Christ
Yeah.
follower. So how do we pick on this one?
I think you just like CJ Stroud more than you like Mr. Sunshine.
I do. I really love CJ Stroud.
Not based on faith or anything, based on performances.
Yeah, I do.
That's all I'm saying.
Although Mr. Sunshine looked great last week, I'll have to give him that. But I'm a CJ Stroud fan.
They are playing home.
Super fan. Yeah. Go Houston. I'm picking Houston.
Houston, yeah. I'm picking Houston. And then this is the most intriguing game. Buffalo Philly. The Bills need this game.
Big time.
Philly, not so much. Especially getting the win after KC.
Who's at home?
It's Buffalo at Philly.
Ooh, that's tough. That is tough. You know, I like when you and I have things to cheer about on the same team. So we're both cheering for Philly to lose so that our teams are, you know, one step closer to, you know, home field advantage, all that kind of thing. Yeah, so go Bills. I'm cheering for the Bills. I do not have a lot of hope, but I'm going to say it'll be close. I'm taking the Bills.
Taking the Bills. Okay. Yeah, I think this is, what, the second week with the new offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
So typically you kind of get that 1 week bump when you fire a coach.
Yep.
I think Philly's going to come back and take him out.
The Bills did look really good in the sense of they started to run the ball more and they did a ton of screens. That's what they've been, should have been doing from the beginning. Took a lot off Josh Allen and he did look pretty decent. So you know what? Hey, yeah, I'm feeling more confident. In
I think they'll cover the spread, but it'll still be Philly. Let's talk quickly about, this is always a topic of concern, the QB carousel. We've identified six teams with new QBs, and that's really changed the playoff race altogether for a lot of these teams. Cleveland is out Deshaun Watson. Cincinnati is without Joe Burrow. The Jets are without Aaron Rodgers. Many just lost Kirk Cousins. The Giants lost Daniel Jones. The Rams. We picked the Rams because of Stafford being in and out. And Las Vegas lost Carr. So who do you think has impacted the most? And let's say for this season, even for next season, potentially. And what are your thoughts? Let's go with Cleveland.
Yeah, it's interesting, this QB carousel, because there's probably, we mentioned six teams of injured quarterbacks. There's probably another 5 to 6 teams of just replacement quarterbacks. And there's this whole...
You could talk to New England.
Yeah, there's this whole, I just... very mediocre level of quarterback play in the NFL right now. But yeah, the biggest...
Hey, Tom Brady, relax.
I agree with Tom there. And did you say for me to pick which is the most impactful, or did you want me to talk about...
Yeah. Give us your thoughts, whichever you want to do. It's either or.
Yeah, definitely for me, it was Cincinnati. Cincinnati was just coming together as putting it together. They had a slow start to the season. They're picking it up, and then down goes Burrow. So their season is, in my books, officially done. And then next in line is then the Browns. I think the Browns were underratedly good. They had that huge win against Baltimore, and then unfortunately, down goes Deshaun, and they're starting their third stringer for some reason, not their second stringer. And yeah, I'm confused about that one, but those two teams were legitimate contenders to me. The rest were just okay teams. So
yeah, well,
maybe the
Rams
would be there, but
they're not looking so hot. The cap nerd in me is picking Cleveland because they gave up so much for Deshaun, and they gave him guaranteed money. If they were even to cut him next year, there's so much dead money on the books, like. They're stuck with him. And if he can't come back anywhere close to where he, even where he was this year, like it's not a guaranteed thing. Right. So
nope. Same.
I think they're in the biggest long-term pressure cooker right now because they got to sign their own free agents and the NFL. Like you make a bad decision like this, it can set you back for a long, long, long time. So I feel bad for Cleveland. Fans. Yeah. I think, you know, Kirk Cousins, he's going to come back, but where does he go? You know, the Vikings may have found their guy in Dobbs. Kid's playing great. Vegas has Garoppolo, my guy. But
they benched.
He's just the temporary solution, right? So,
Aiden O'Connell's there as the starter in Vegas now.
That's right. That's right. So, it's weird because football, they always talk about it being a very big team sport. But really, if you don't have good quarterback play, you're in trouble.
Big time. Especially in the NFL today.
I don't think we will see too many, you know, back in the day, we had the Warren Sapp-led Bucks.
Rex Grossman, and even Bears.
Yeah, and even when Baltimore won with
Flacco.
No, not Flacco, the guy before Flacco.
Oh yeah, that was like a long time ago though.
A long time ago, right? All just a pure defensive team with just okay quarterback play. You can't win the NFL today with that. Your quarterback has to be minimum above average. Right? If your quarterback's in the bottom, you know, bottom 15 of anything, you're in trouble, right? You can win you'll win games, but you can't go all the way through. So the quarterback's a big play here. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens for the rest of the year. I think the Vikings are going to make a push maybe out of all these teams with weak quarterback play. Like, I can't see Danny DeVito throwing another 3 touchdowns next week, but who knows? Maybe he finds himself and all of a sudden there's a quarterback controversy for the Giants. I don't know.
Imagine having two quarterbacks that are just not good as your quarterback controversy. Not a great room.
Not a great room. Last thoughts to you on the NFL side of things before you pay more bills.
Yeah, NFL side of things. I'm excited for this. This is the home stretch here. We're already into week 12. And this is kind of what separates the top, the cream of the crop, and the rest that are fighting for it. So I'm excited mostly for the AFC because who knows who's going to win there. This is so open. Is it Baltimore? Is it Kansas City? I don't know. Look at Denver. Denver's just shooting out of nowhere. Yeah. They're real. Sean Payton's changed that culture.
He fixed Russell Wilson.
Coach of the year?
Maybe. Last question for you.
Okay.
And be honest. Are you going to work Thursday? Your boss is watching. Are you working Thursday?
I have preemptively taken the day off. I've taken the day off Thursday. Actually, I'm going to work till about noon because I did put in a few hours on my day off on this last Monday. Sure. So that's how I am saying Thursday is my day off.
I like it.
Well, I'm joining Americans. It's Turkey Day, baby.
I like it. Folks, that is how you play the game. Foresight. All right. Talking about foresight, we're going to roll into our next commercial here. Train to Invest. If you are looking to look into your future, if you're looking to establish yourself, gain some sort of grounding for your financial future, and using foresight, check out www.train2invest.com, train2invest.com, and download our free ebook. It's not very long. I know you guys like to read out there. Lots of good information. And really, we're just a company here trying to help you gain financial freedom by cutting out the middleman, helping you learn a trading methodology that you can trade in any sort of market, helping you understand risk and how you view risk, and using that to your advantage. For example, Daniel will trade 1,000% different than I will. He's much more of a gunslinger. He'll take those risks. Me, I like to take things a little more easier and be more secure and be more, I don't say less risky, but either or personality, you can and will make money in the stock market. So if you are looking to either find a way to retire, maybe pay off some bills, maybe there's a wedding or big function coming up in your life, check us out, www.train2invest.com, and download the ebook and let us know. All right. One of our more, I think, is becoming more of our favorite segment across the pod now. And we love talking about sports and stuff, but sports in real life is really cool. And we've gotten some good feedback, and it's really interesting. We're going to start a new kind of something different for us here. and it's kind of like a series almost. And we've titled it How to Be a Champion. That's the overall arcing theme here is how to be a champion. And last week we looked at kind of an introduction of what do champions look like? Also, what do champions not look like? So, you know, Megan Rapinoe and or Rapinoe or however you want to say her name is, had a quote there. And we talked a lot about that. This week, we're going to kind of look at winning as an athlete versus winning as a Christ follower. And both are talking about winning, but what does that look like? What's the goal? Why don't you start us off, Daniel?
Yeah, so I guess throughout history, throughout all of history, the idea of winning and being a champion has been around, and even in scripture we've seen the Apostle Paul, who, you know, he called the church at Corinth to virtuous living, basically, and mm-hmm. to understand and exercise self-control and all the things that athletes go through and have those disciplines be a part of their life and their faith, and have that actually be one together. And so really, like a Christian perspective should have understanding that there's deep roots of Christian living and sports and scripture, you know, throughout history. Even the Greco-Roman way of things was to achieve physical attractiveness and greatness that would glorify their pagan gods, and that's what they would be training for. That's what they'd be living for, and what we see in being a Christ follower and Christian living. You know, there is an understanding that yes, the body is important, but and the soul is also important as well. And you're supposed to actually combine those together, and all the practices of the training your body and understanding how to run a race and boxing and boxing with a purpose that you learn those in scriptures, they also apply to how you live out your faith and how actually that will be the most important thing for your life is to apply those disciplines to your faith and how you walk in your faith. And that's basically a little intro of how it's been throughout history that way.
I don't think anybody listening today thought we'd go back to the Greco-Romans and a bit of a history lesson there. But I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's a really good example because it's who what's your purpose? Like, what are you trying to do? And in that time, and a lot of athletes today, it's glorify self through what we're doing. And talking about athletes, when we talk about satisfaction in the world versus satisfaction in Christ, it's very, very different, right? So from in the world, as an athlete, you know, you go to Linden Christian School, there are tons of banners and stuff that both of us have helped put up, right? Kids these days have no idea how sparse it was back in the day, what the competition was like, but they're just used to winning now because, you know, Winnipeg is a different story. But not to sound like a super old man on my birthday, I won't throw it that way. But as an athlete, when you're looking to win, it's something that you have to do every single year, right? Winning isn't one and done. It's seasonal. Every year you're getting prepared for the next year. You're putting in the time and the work. And it's about that external validation. And when I say external validation, even like there's so many different, like you look at the Houston Astros when they won the World Series, there's an asterisk beside that, depends on who you talk to. When the Lakers won in the bubble, there's an asterisk beside that. I won't bring up the Spurs in 99 because there's no asterisk beside that one. And all across sports, you can debate winners and losers. Even if you win the trophy, there could be some sort of scandal that brings it down, brings off that shine, and brings off that satisfaction of winning. And in our world today, it's all about what have you done for me lately? When you look at guys who are looking to build their legacy, there's guys who, and women, obviously, when I'm talking about this, but like There's people who haven't won, but are still really excellent in their field of choice. So they have to find other ways to prop up their legacy, to get that satisfaction. I've scored the most points. I've played the most games. I had a really good WAR, things like that. When in reality, you used to just be, how many chips did you have? Right? So and because of this lack of satisfaction and because of this waning sensation of winning, athletes and athletics have turned into a popularity contest. You know, for me, the biggest difference is when I see guys come into the stadium in the NBA. It used to be growing up, suit and tie, you're coming in for work. And then they made this big deal about, oh, I need to have style and all this kind of stuff. So you're guys dressing in like baggy jeans and hoodies. It kind of went steered back towards being a little more businesslike as, you know, you had more sponsorships. Now you got guys who are wearing dresses, it feels like, when they're coming into the stadium. Right? It's about, how do I show myself? How do I show me as a winner? How do I, you know, I'm winning the fashion game, or I'm setting the new trend, because I can't win enough in basketball or win enough in my sport to get that satisfaction. So when we talk about this in the worldly view, again, it's fleeting. It's speculative depending on who, on the circumstances of your win. And it can't be your identity. Your identity can't be, oh, I am an athlete. Cool. So that's why you see a lot of guys, when they retire, they don't know what to do. Look at Tom Brady. You know, I saw a bunch of memes where he spent 3 weeks with his kids and said, you know what, I'm going back to the NFL. Right. So your identity, it can't be tied to something that's so fleeting, because you'll never find true happiness or satisfaction.
Yeah, that's really good. And yeah, the slogan "more than an athlete" could just be, you know, so much more than what LeBron James has made it be. LeBron James is he's perfect example of not having satisfaction from all these championships that he's won and all the records that he has, the most points ever scored. You know, he's got to create these foundations, and they have a museum of himself now that you can attend, where there's a holographic LeBron James that will be there, and his old apartment will be set up there. And I don't know if it'll include his Humvee, however he was able to get it there, but it has got to be the LeBron James I Promise School. You know, got to find the satisfaction in now he's trying to find satisfaction in other people's opinions, his perception of himself and his legacy, right? And they're never going to find that satisfaction in those things. And where true satisfaction comes is when you receive the peace of God in your life. That's what you're going to have. This it's a heavenly peace. It's a heavenly hope that you have, because you know that you are serving a purpose so far greater than things of this world. And when the lessons we learn from achieving success in sports, like the value of teamwork and industriousness, also known as hard work, the value of loyalty, all those things really build up your character, exemplify the way we are to be living our lives every single day. And that's why I find so much beauty in sports. And that's why I love Paul in the Bible, because he talks about sports all the time, and he relates to all the different places he's going to speak, talking about sports, to how we are to live our lives. And that's where you try to find your success. That's where you try to find what do you call it? Satisfaction, right? And on top of that, there's this other gift of heaven when you're believing and following Jesus, right? So that's another added benefactor, right? So what are your thoughts, Coach?
Yeah, I think when you look at winning as a Christian, it's about basically living like Jesus. And that's so opposite of what the world is saying today, right? The world is saying you got to win. You have to have something flashy, a lot of money, status, got to drive a sick car, big house, you know, jewelry, things like that, or a high paying job or a big title, whatever those things are. But when you're winning as a Christian, it's like, do you do the right things when no one is watching? Are you, you know, tithing even though the bills are coming up? Are you staying in your prayer closet a little extra longer than you usually would because you feel the prompting of the Spirit? For you Baptists out there, is it clapping your hands when the song gets joyful, right? Winning as a Christian is about obedience, I think. And living a contrarian lifestyle. And also understanding that your final reward is in heaven. It says store up your treasures in heaven. Right? You can have a bazillion dollars like Jeff Bezos. But when the dude passes, his stock from Amazon is staying in the market. It's not going anywhere. He can't take any of that with him. There's no prime delivery up to heaven. Right? So that, I think the idea of what does winning look like? It's about, and again, it is tied to sports and when you're training, because it's about doing the little things well over and over and over again. Right? It's like that's the story of the talents. Right? It's doing the little things over and over again, taking a risk to go for the win, but being responsible for what you've been given. Like, you have a platform every Sunday, right? And you want to be obedient to God. You want to listen to what he's saying. And ultimately, you want that platform to grow. If you're not responsible with that, God's going to find a different use for that platform. And me, I have a platform every single day. Whenever I go into work, the people that I deal with on a daily basis, the friends I have back home, that's my platform. This podcast is part of that, right? And if I'm not obedient, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect, I'm definitely will put up my hand and say, hey, in my 37 years, I've made a lot of mistakes. But if I'm obedient and I'm listening to what God is telling me to do, whether it's something small as, hey, text this person, just say what's up. Or, hey, tell Daniel you want to preach on Sunday about this. Doesn't matter what it is. If I'm obedient to God, that's the win. Right? Because you never know. We talk about this often in the pod. You may not be the one who sees your friend or your coworker or your family member come to Christ. You might be the one who just plants the seed. Or you might be the one who waters the seed. Or gives it fertilizer. Or, you know, clears out the weeds. Whatever. You don't know what can happen because God doesn't fit inside the box you can construct.
Yeah, and I love all these UFC fighters and boxers who, you know, they go 9 rounds for the boxers or however many rounds for UFC, and right after they're done, they are sharing how they got to where they are. It's through their, because of their faith, because of their things that they've been practicing in their lives, it translates to their platform, and then they're using their platforms to share about that. That's why I'm so enamored with CJ Stroud, like this quarterback. Like I'm going to mention him every podcast until someone tells me to not, and then I'm still going to do it. I don't know. He's just so good, and he still brings it back to where he is rooted in. I saw this great interview. It was actually with Tom Brady. Tom Brady was interviewing on the same interview with CJ Stroud, and CJ Stroud asked him, you know, like what's some advice to handle the pressures of this world and how to stay you know, on my path of my platform and how to be honest towards that. And Tom Brady was like, you know what? Everyone on game days all your friends, family members, they're it's almost like they're at vacation time when they're coming to watch you play. That's their time of relaxing and fun. But you're a professional. This is your job. You got to not worry about entertaining your friends and family members during the week or anything like that. Your job is that on Sunday. And then CJ Stroud ended the interview by saying, yeah, that's absolutely he loved that. And then he also equated that to, that's just like my how this platform is my platform where I get to perform football, but I also get to glorify God. I also get to praise his name because this is what he's given me and I get to show out that way. And I thought that's beautiful. I love that. And that's amazing. I'm becoming a Tom Brady post-career Tom Brady fan, I guess. So,
hey, truth is truth, right? I mean, if you think about it that way, you have a job to do. As a Christ follower, you have a job to do. And as we'll talk about in the following weeks, there's going to be good times, there's going to be bad times, there's going to be problems you can't solve. But you have a job to do. And I think that also ties to spiritual warfare, and it ties to a lot of different things. And we're going to try and cover a ton of this stuff over the next few weeks. And of course, we want to hear what you guys have to say, so don't hesitate to reach out at us on Twitter, or sorry, X, and Facebook, and Instagram, YouTube. And yeah, just remember that being obedient will open up a lot of doors for you, and that you can't put God into a very small box that is humankind. God works outside the boxes that we create. Yeah, that's all I got for you on that piece.
Yeah, I love it. You know, there's lots of, if you're interested in looking at, or if you're really wondering if all this stuff that we're saying is in the Bible, absolutely it is. You can look at 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27. That's kind of my go-to verse of that shares about running a race, boxing, and training your body, and all those things, how they can relate to, you know, your Christian walk. So check it out.
Awesome. You want to wrap up for today? I think that's a good
section here. About that. You know, NBA, we can talk about it next week, because I think next week by Wednesday, that's when we release the next pod, the next 3 days of the in-season tournament will be completed, and it's going to give a great picture of what's going on in the NBA in-season tournament. Yeah. So.
Love it. Love it. Cool. Anything special going on at church or at the church this week that you want to highlight before we wrap up for today?
Yeah, we're doing something new. The last Sunday of every month, we're doing this kind of special service called One Family Sunday, where we try to encourage Christian living as something we do together. And that's what the church in Acts did. And we want to do that and resemble that as well. And we want to have a time where our the people at church can encourage each other with their different testimonies of the goodness of God, different prayer requests that they may have. And then we'll have some we'll break some bread together. And it's just a great chance for us to do that. And I think that's a great opportunity. If you're an American this weekend, as you're celebrating your Thanksgiving, that's something you can do with your friends and family members. Maybe you can invite someone that that you know maybe you'll be alone and might be alone, and you can bring them into your family and welcome them in. That's kind of what the practice of Christian living is. So, yeah, that's what's absolutely going on.
Beauty. Awesome. Cool. Find us on Twitter. X. I always say Twitter. Find us on X. Find us on YouTube. Find us on Facebook. And reach out. We love interacting with you guys. If you want to check out Urban Hope, hit up the website, the Sports Reverend's website. Definitely a place to donate. And we will see you guys in the next pod next week.
Peace out.
That's all I got. Peace.